This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an intimate evening of theater, an arts find at a local fair, or maybe you want a boogie on the bayou, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. A memoir of music, love, and survival comes to life as Le Petit Theatre closes its season with the pianist of Willesden Lane, internationally acclaimed concert pianist and storyteller, Mona Golubek, recounts a true story of survival during World War II, that of her mother as a young Jewish musician, a piano prodigy whose dreams are interrupted by the Nazi regime. Mona Golubek is here. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you in the studio following the show's celebrated run at the Kennedy Center. What's your reaction to the play's reception?
It's such a dream for me, a dream come true, to be able to walk out on stage and tell the story of Lisa Jura, my wonderful mother, and her coming of age. You know, it's so wild because about 25 years ago, I woke up, I was engaged to play the Grieg Piano Concerto. And that was the piece that she always told me about. When she taught me the piano when I was a little kid, when she always said that each piece of music tells a story. And I thought, wow, that's the piece she told me about. Maybe if I could get a book out there, maybe if I could get a play created around this and I could share this with audiences, especially, I thought, young people. I kept thinking that my mother's story was so inspiring. The messages about what do you hold on to in the darkest of times? And in my mother's case, it was her music and her faith. But the more important question, really, what's our purpose on earth? Because I'm always fond of saying after every show to my audiences that this is a story of man's humanity to man. I'm alive today because of a decision that was made by another generation to save the lives of 10,000 Jewish refugee children.
And that is where Willesden Lane comes in?
Well, the story is so fantastic. It begins in Vienna, and we see the world. We see on the stage how the frames were designed to project a world that will soon be gone from us. But it begins with a young girl having a dream in Vienna, going to her piano lesson. And this is the Vienna of Mozart and Beethoven and Sachertorte, and she looks into the cafes, and she wants to be part of that society. And then it's a world that is disrupted by evil, and a choice is made to save one girl's life because there were three girls in that family. And they chose my mother because they thought the music would give her the strength to survive an uncertain future. So it's a fantastic journey of how she made her way to England, how she ultimately found her way at a Jewish hostel on a street called Willesden Lane, where she grew up with 30 other refugee children. And that's how I came with the title, The Children of Willesden Lane, which ultimately led to Hirschfelder adapting it for the stage and creating The Pianist of Willesden Lane.
What can you share with us from your mom, Lisa Jura's story?
So my mom would always tell me how the kids in the streets of London would whistle this theme. And so many years later, when she told me the story of her life, I had no idea that this music would change the course of my life. She told me how she always dreamed about making her debut in the Musikverein, which was the great symphony hall of Vienna. And here she was a 13-year-old girl going to her piano lessons on the trolley in the Vienna of the 1930s. And she would close her eyes and the trolley would pass the symphony hall and she would imagine that she was on the stage and the orchestra erupts. And then comes that theme that she imagines in the daydream. And then she plays. Meistersingerstrasse. So she opens her eyes and she sees that the stop that was always called Malerstrasse had been changed, and now her world would change. I become my mother, and I become the characters that she met along the way, and I invite the audience to experience what my mother experienced through this journey of about 4 to 5 years. It sort of starts with Vienna and then ends with the war, concluding in England. And the audience takes a journey with my mother through all the losses, through all the challenges, through the love that she discovered, not only of her friends in that hostel, but the two boys that she sort of became sweet upon, and who was the choice, who would become my father, and what happened to her sisters, what happened to her parents. All of this is discovered in the journey. And what has been so incredible for me is that when we come to the end of the performance, I hear the crying sometimes in the audience. So many people come over to me afterwards and say, you've told my story, or you've told my legacy. You've told what my grandparents told me about, or what my parents told me about, or what I've read about my background. So I think my mother's story, it may be the story of a Jewish teenager in World War II, but it's really the story of today. It's really the story of what we see going on in our world today and the challenges that we face, the growing rhetoric of discourse and pain and separation, and how we must keep these stories alive and fight really for the good for all of us.
After your mom went to London, did she ever continue playing the piano?
When the war was over and many of these beautiful young refugee children discovered that their families were gone, most of them immigrated to America. My mother always remembered what her parents had said to her, don't worry, we will be reunited in America. America was the place of hope and dream. So my mother did do that. And coming to America as a young refugee girl with barely anything, obviously she couldn't really continue the career or the dream in the way that she hoped. So she found a path becoming a piano teacher to many, many students. But I came along, and the family legend is that I came along to fulfill the dream that was cut short.
Wow. Acclaimed pianist Mona Golubic, thanks for sharing your story.
It was an honor. Thank you.
Le Petit Theatre presents The Pianist of Willesden Lane, with performances running now through May 26th. More info is online at lepetittheatre.com. Uptown, you just might discover a budding artist as the New Orleans Academy of Fine Arts kicks off its annual art fair and open house. Academy Vice President Anna Coleman Dunbar is here. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
This is a popular Uptown event. Tell us what makes it so special.
Well, we have past students and students from this year that are showing their pieces, and it's a wonderful place to go to get artwork from new budding artists.
What will we experience at this year's event?
We have the artists set up in tents in our parking lot and then also in our annex building, and they will have their pieces on display and for sale. We have a great little photo booth where you can kind of stick your head through, and there's the Mona Lisa, and there'll be crafts for the children and kind of light fare, popcorn and drinks that we'll provide. And then the school will actually be open for people to come through, and our student show will be up then, which is one of our biggest shows of the year. There's about 150 to 200 students that show their pieces, and that's throughout the year. And those pieces, some of them will also be for sale. So it's a great opportunity to really see what the school does and what our students are learning.
The art fair and the student exhibition are two separate?
Yes. Okay. So the art fair just happens that one day, just on Saturday, and then the student exhibit is up until July.
And the works in the art fair, are they works by students?
They are works by current students and past students, and there's about 30 artists showing at the fair.
And what types of artwork will we see this year?
A full variety. Oil paintings, drawings, sculpture.
Now tell us a little bit about the school, about its beginning and its founder, and about some of the luminaries that have come through its doors.
The school was founded in 1978 by Ossiklis Ozols, and he had studied at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts and came to New Orleans and really wanted to share what he had learned in that school and sort of the training that he had. And it's a very specific type of training, staying very solid within the fine arts. The New Orleans Academy of Fine Arts is dedicated to the advancement of fine arts within the community. That's really our purpose, and we try to open that up to everyone. If you have a desire to learn, there have been amazing artists that have learned through our school and are now in the community. Billy Solitario has worked there. Carol Peebles, Kundin has been a professor. So it's really been a place in the city for artists to both teach their craft within this fine arts arena and also a place for anyone to come learn these art classes.
Now, besides a nice piece of art, what are visitors likely to take away from the event?
Hopefully they'll take away what we have to offer this community and seeing the classes that we have to offer and maybe even what them as an artist could learn to present as pieces themselves one year.
New Orleans Academy of Fine Arts Vice President Anna Coleman Dunbar, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The New Orleans Academy of Fine Arts Art Fair and Open House takes place on Saturday, May 18th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., rain or shine. 5256 Magazine Street. More info is online at noafa.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The Mid-City Bayou Boogaloo kicks off festivities this weekend along Bayou St. John. Festival spokeswoman Corinne Curley joins us with all the details. Corinne, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me.
On the heels of Jazz Fest, this city is ready to boogie some more, this time in Mid-City. What can we look forward to this year?
We have over 30 musical acts, over 60 local artists, over 30 local food vendors. It's truly a festival for and by the neighborhood, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
How did this festival get its start?
It was started right after Hurricane Katrina as a way to sort of restore the social fabric of the neighborhood, to bring residents and business people back together, and just to provide hope in what we all know was a pretty rough time. And it has expanded and grown over the years, as has the neighborhood.
Are you surprised by its growth?
Oh, I'm not surprised. This is New Orleans. We love a good festival.
So what types of crowds are you expecting this year?
Hopefully it's going to be packed. The weather will be beautiful. I just know it. The very first year, it was a one-day festival, one stage, but they got almost 5,000 people out, which is just a testament to what people really needed, a gathering like that.
Yeah.
And now it's 3 days, four stages, and, you know, over 30,000 people.
Wow. Tell us about some of the music headliners.
We have local favorites and some out-of-town groups. We focus on local music. We'll have blues guitarist Anders Osborne. He's returning. He played the festival in 2016. We have Bayou Pop princess Amanda Shaw, Delta Blues guitarist Tab Benoit.
I said hustling down in New Orleans. A hustling Henry got a tambourine. He's shaking them up, he's shaking them down, he's shaking. hustling down in New Orleans.
The old New Orleans rock and roll favorites, Cowboy Mouth. And we also have Raw Oyster Cult, which is a group started by Dave Malone and features a lot of the Radiators. So that's a great New Orleans favorite. Erica Falls, dynamite voice. Love to see her perform. Little Freddie King, the legend. And then from out of town, we have some exciting things happening. We have the Suffers. They're this kind of Gulf Coast soul group from Houston, Texas. We have Shiny Ribs from Austin, Texas. And then we have Angelo Moore in the Brand New Step. Angelo Moore was the singer and saxophonist for Fishbone, so some people might recognize that. And we have a very special group coming all the way from Haiti called Ram. They're a well-established group down in Haiti, and I'm very excited to see them as well.
That's a big lineup. In addition to the music, what else is on tap?
We have an art market that features 60 local artists. It's truly, if you don't like music, you should still come to the festival because just the shopping alone makes it worth it.
Who doesn't like music?
That's true. That's true. The art market has painters, jewelers, sculptors, just a wide range. And it's truly inspiring to see all the interesting art that is being created in our city.
And what about food?
Delicious food. We have some of the neighborhood favorites. We have Mid-City Pizza, Blue Oak Barbecue for the first time this year. Klessy's doing crawfish, of course. Boswell's Jamaican Grill. Some new names, Old School Eats Food Truck, Creole Caveman. We also think it's really important to make sure to have lots of options with our food. So we have gluten-free options, vegan options, vegetarian options, along with all your sort of festival favorites.
And I hear the festival, it's getting its own beer this year?
Yes, we do have our own beer. It's very exciting. It's a Boogaloo Blonde. It was created for us by Urban South Brewery, a local brewery that we work with. Our other major sponsor is Port Orleans Brewery. So two of our major sponsors are local breweries because, again, this is a community neighborhood festival through and through. So the Boogaloo Blonde, it's light, it's delicious, it's perfect for hot weather on the bayou. It's available at a couple of restaurants and bars in Mid-City right now, and it will be available at the festival. It's a limited edition sort of thing.
Now, we've been talking about the festival and its presence along the shores of Bayou St. John, but does this festival also have a big presence in the bayou?
There are lots of folks out in the bayou, of course. We want to help promote recreation and like a responsible use of that space. It's such an amazing resource for the neighborhood. So, yeah, you'll see people out in canoes and kayaks and they make rafts and they float. It's a very unique setting for a festival.
Now, you mentioned responsible use of the grounds. You're also promoting zero waste. What's that about?
Yes. So we want to leave the bayou and the banks of the bayou better than when we found them. We do a lot of work after the festival to beautify, but we really need the festival attendees' help in collecting their trash. Also, it is a problem for people out in the water. So we just want to remind all those folks, if you are in the water enjoying the festival, you want to take that trash out with you. We have tons of receptacles within the festival grounds, of course. We also are going to be doing recycling, which not all festivals do, so that's pretty exciting.
What about transportation?
Parking is limited, so we encourage biking. One of the entrances of the festival is right on the Lafitte Greenway. So riding your bike on the Greenway is a great way to get to the festival. And Friends of Lafitte Greenway, the nonprofit that manages that space, is one of our nonprofit partners. So we help raise money for them at this festival. So yes, we encourage biking, walking, public transportation, canoeing from the other end of the bayou. We're trying to encourage environmentally friendly ways of getting there.
And canoes and kayaks are pretty big.
Yes.
So what would you say is the best way to enjoy this outdoor treat?
I would bring a little chair, get there early, can set up and enjoy the music and the food from the main stage area. You know, it's cool. The festival is not so large that you can walk up and down, experience all of it pretty easily and quickly. You know, there's a kids area as well. So families are encouraged to bring their kids. You know, your mom and them, the pets, dogs are welcome as long as they're on leashes. So.
Is it a free festival?
It is a $10 suggested donation. What I think some people don't realize about the festival is it's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser for our nonprofit, Friends of Bayou St. John, as well as a plethora of other neighborhood nonprofits. Like I mentioned, Friends of Lafitte Greenway, Morris Jeff Community School, Evacuteer.org, Sustaining Our Urban Landscape. This year, we're partnering for the first time with 100 Black Men, which is an organization helping like challenged youth in the city. So there's so many organizations that depend on this event for their budget. And we know that these nonprofits are the fabric of a vibrant community. So when you come to the Boogaloo and you put your money in that donation box, you are supporting so many great causes and having fun at the same time, which is classic.
A win-win.
Yes.
Bayou Boogaloo spokeswoman, Corinne Curley. Thanks for stopping by and happy fest.
Thanks so much.
The Mid-City Bayou Boogaloo runs Friday through Sunday along Bayou St. John. More info is online at thebayouboogaloo.com.
Baby, don't you worry about a thing, 'cause I'ma come and get you. Put your troubles down and let me work in you. I know this bigger world, it seems so cold and hard, but baby, don't you worry about a thing, 'cause I got your heart.
That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.